David spoiled my introduction in his prayer as he prayed for Pastor Phil and Tim as they're on their way to the International Learning Center in Richmond. They left right after the service this morning. What I was going to share with you was that at about 3 o'clock this afternoon, I got a call from Pastor Phil, said he and Tim had been invited to a Super Bowl party, and he wanted to know whether I had a message ready or not. Now, some of you already knew that Pastor Phil was not going to be here because he did not. I have people ask me this morning, why didn't Pastor Phil lay his annual guilt trip on us about attending on Super Bowl Sunday night? And so they knew something was up then. And I appreciate those of you who came already knowing that he was not going to be here. There were some. And then after you noticed that it was me that would be sharing with you tonight and not Pastor Phil, those of you who stayed, I appreciate you're staying for that, for this time tonight. I always look forward to an opportunity to share here. Normally on Sunday nights, I am at our Fountain City campus, and what a privilege it is to be over here to share with you tonight. By the way, speaking of Fountain City, God is just doing amazing things there. And some of you may know about some things going on. Maybe you can look in the encounters and see some numbers there and see what's happening. But just let me tell you, God has touched down in that place. When we started our partnership over there 7 years ago, on a good Sunday morning, I would have 70 people, maybe 80 on a good Sunday morning. And they have upwards of 300 people that are coming there now. And God has just touched down in Fountain City. Some of those are some from our group that have gone over, a small number, but most of that is new growth and young families that are just joining over there and getting involved, and it touches my heart. I'm still glad to be a part of what goes on over there, meeting with them from time to time, but just to give you kind of an update and an encouraging word about what the Lord is doing there. Well, I know some of you probably got some other things on your mind. It's just about kickoff time. Maybe it had to happen a few minutes ago. And so they think, oh, no, Mike's preaching. And we know that what that means. And it'll be third quarter before we get home. But I want to take a few minutes with you tonight to share with you a reminder of what it means to be a Christian. And one aspect of being a Christian, and that is the aspect of being a grateful believer. I was thinking as Don was praying and as David was praying and then listening to the songs, and it just impressed upon me the number of times in all of those that we heard, we thank you or thanks to God for what he's done. You know why we do that? Because we are a people of thanks. We have much to be thankful for. But I think it's good for us from time to time to stop and think about why we are thankful, what we have to be thankful for, what we can share in thanksgiving, and hopefully to encourage one another through our attitude of gratitude and our thanksgiving for being children of God and what all that means. So I'm taking a few minutes tonight to share with you what happens when we give thanks. And I've said in your notes six things that happen when we give thanks. Now, here's what I want to do first. So kind of set the stage here. It's Thanksgiving. I'm going to do something a little unusual. I'm going to give you just a minute or two to this. I don't want you to overthink this. You shouldn't have to. But I want you, I don't care if there's several saying at one time, it doesn't matter, but just say, thanks be to God for something. Just share tonight, out loud. What are you thankful for? Yeah. You know, it didn't take long, did it? For you to think of something that you're thankful for. I heard two or three of those. I thank God for my salvation probably is the one that I heard the most. If there is nothing else that you have in your life to be thankful for, you can be thankful for your salvation. And then everything else just kind of falls in line under that, doesn't it? But there's more to it than just the fact that he saved me. I mean, that's big. He did save me and I give God thanks. But there's more than that, and I want us to look at a few of those things tonight, just to be reminded of them and maybe encourage one another, and maybe even as we end this, to enter into a time of praise and thanksgiving through some prayer time as we finish tonight. The psalmist says, praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. When I first started putting this message together, I was just looking in the scripture at the number of passages that use the word thanks or thanksgiving. And I could have filled up two pages just with those scripture references.
The scripture is full from Genesis all the way through Revelation with a word of thanksgiving to God. Now, at times, it's reminding us to be thankful to one another, and we're going to touch on some of that tonight. But the primary emphasis with what I want to share with you tonight is in our spirit of thanksgiving to the Lord. And sometimes you think you don't have much to be thankful for, but let's be reminded of that. There's a story about a woman who boarded a bus, and she got on and every seat was filled. She was tired and had her arms just laden down with packages. Noticing her plight, a man stood up and offered her his seat. The woman was so shocked she fainted. After a few moments, she came to and she looked up at the man and who had given his seat and said, "Thank you," whereas the man then fainted. You know, what's the point of that story? Yeah, it took you a second there, didn't it? Yeah. My boys tell me, "Daddy, don't share funny stories from the pulpit. You're terrible at it." You know, and Sue's over there. She didn't shake her head. Thank you for not affirming that. But, you know, we share that because sometimes we are surprised when people have a thankful attitude and when people thank us. And it shouldn't be that way. We ought to be the most thankful people in the world. We ought to be thanking people as a surprise to them. Just as an encouragement to one another. Find something to thank people for. We ought to be sharing with them the graciousness of God through the gratefulness that we have for God's working in our life. And seeing God at work in every instance in our life. The Bible teaches us that a thankful attitude joins heaven and earth. I want you to think about that statement. The Bible teaches us that a thankful attitude joins heaven and earth. When we think about all the things that you mentioned there, and primarily our salvation, the fact that we're in the family of God, and that's expressed then in the way we live life with others on the earth, that joins heaven and earth. That gives to those on the earth something of a glimpse of heaven and what it means to be heavenly-minded people. So this is a message for those who are God's children, who are heavenly minded, as we live in an earthly minded world, to express ourselves in thanksgiving. When we're thankful, we recognize that everything that is given to us is a gift of God. Because it's ours by the mercies of an almighty God. Thankfulness turns our hearts and our minds toward heaven. And that's what I want us to do tonight. Now, here's six things that happen when we give. And then I've gone into some reminders, just some scripture verses there at the end that will hopefully prompt us into a thankful attitude and expression of prayer. First of all, we distinguish ourselves when we are thankful. We distinguish ourselves from non-believers. We distinguish ourselves from non-believers. Listen to Romans chapter 1, verse 21. As a matter of fact, Pastor Phil shared that this morning. Time out. If you were not here this morning, run to your internet access and listen to that message. Not right now, but sometime later tonight after the ball game or sometime over the next few days. That was just a tremendous message this morning on idol warfare, wasn't it, though? That was. We spent our whole Sunday school class time dealing with that message. Just an awesome message. But when we are thankful, we distinguish ourselves from non-believers. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Those who do not know God, they know of God, but do not know God personally and intimately in salvation. Those who do not know are not, they're without thanks. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. We see just in those two verses here a contrast between those who are the people of God and those who are not the people of God. One is a thankful people, the other is not a thankful people. So when we express in our lives that heavenly connection of gratitude toward God, and that becomes the expression of our life, we distinguish ourselves from those who do not know God. I think that's pretty significant. We want them to see something different in us. And when we are gracious, grateful people, then we distinguish ourselves from the world. Secondly, thankful people follow the example of Jesus. Now, you think about that. Here is God in the flesh. And he took time to thank the Father. Here's God thanking God. And you think, what in the world does God have to thank God for? Well, just to give you a couple of examples in John 6:11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to his disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. In Luke chapter 22, verses 17 through 19, then Jesus took the cup and gave thanks. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Just two times there that Jesus had a thankful attitude. He thanked the Father before he gave the food, and he thanked the Father before he gave of himself. We are reminded to follow the example of Jesus. In reminding us of Jesus' action in both of these instances, the gospel writer wants to make sure we realize that his actions took place after he gave thanks. He took time to thank the Father. The Bible clearly wants us in these passages and others to realize that Jesus was thankful. He was a thankful person. He thanked God for the food that he was about to give to the hungry crowd. He thanked the Father for the gift of his own life that he was about to give. We might think that he of all people didn't have to do this. He is God. But what an example. Every good thing he knew came from the Father above. Here's one person of the triune Godhead who takes time to thank the Father for what he has and what he is about to give. Well, thirdly, we acknowledge the connection of the spiritual to the material realm. Now, I touched on that when I said that as thankful people, we are heavenly people living in an earthly environment. And what ought to come from heavenly people is a heavenly attitude. Paul says to the church at Colossians that our mind should be set on things above, the things not of this earth, but the things in heaven, because that's where our mind we are spiritually minded people. But as we live here on the earth, we bring the two together. In Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. As you walk through this life, whatever you are doing, you might think that doesn't have anything to do with the heavenlies. That's my job. That's just life here on earth. No, it has everything to do with the heavenlies. It connects the two. We give credence to the fact that we are heavenly minded living in this world, and we recognize that everything in this world we have to be thankful for, and we have God to thank for. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, for every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified, or I put in brackets there, dedicated to the service of God by the word of God in prayer. We recognize that those things that come down from the Father of life, every good and perfect gift, James 1 tells us, all these things that come down are the resources that God has given to us to use in his service. As the heavens touch the earth, as our life touches people around us. Jesus gave thanks because he could see beyond the physical to the spiritual. He saw beyond the bread and the fish to the God who provided the bread and the fish. He saw beyond the giving of his own blood and flesh to the gift of eternal life that was given to that by those who would believe. You know, it's recognizing when we do this, it's recognizing something way beyond ourselves. It is recognizing the maker and the giver of everything. And by giving thanks, we bring the heavenly, the eternal, down into the material and the temporal right here before us. This is from God, we state. This is our God. He gives. It's his. We become thankful for that, and we give an expression to the world of who Jesus is and what he has given. Fourthly, people who give thanks, align ourselves with the will of God. Very simply stated in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, in everything, give thanks. Now, if I stop there, you would say, you probably have said, you've probably heard, for that? For this? For what you've just put me through or allowed to go into my life? God, you're saying, in that, give thanks? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And you think, how can I give thanks for that? I said, in everything, give thanks. In the midst of what you're going through, do you have something to be thankful for? God, I thank you that I am not, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, I'm confused, but I'm not distressed. I'm not so pushed down that it's hopeless. I'm kind of squeezed in, but I'm not destroyed. I'm crushed, he said, but not destroyed. We recognize the persevering nature of God. We recognize how he works in these things to conform us, to mold us, to create in us something that gives testimony to his power. As we deal with the thing that we look at and we say, how can I give thanks for that? In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God. The next time you're faced with, I don't have anything to be thankful for, think of 1 Thessalonians 5. In everything, give thanks. Whatever you're going through, God, I do not understand what you're putting me through now, what you're allowing to go on in my life. But in the midst of that, I give you thanks because you've told me to. And I'm waiting to see how you are going to touch my life through this. What you're going to do in me to make a difference. What you're going to do in my life to bring you glory. I don't see it, God. But I will give you thanks in advance, not knowing. I don't need to know because I know you. And so in everything, give thanks. We align ourselves with the will of God. Fifthly, we tap into the power of heaven. In Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Maybe as you've prayed, maybe you've been praying and maybe you feel that there's a weakness. There's no power in your prayer life. There's a couple of things that might be coming out of this passage that might deal with that. Maybe you're anxious for everything. Maybe there's something that has hold of you that you've not turned over to tap the power of heaven. He says, be anxious for nothing. In other words, recognize that there is something outside of you that is available for you to tap, to meet the need of the moment, to work God in you, Christ in you, in his power. Be anxious for nothing. Turn it over to God in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. God, and you can see how so many of these run together, but God, I don't understand. But I do know who you are. I do know your power. I do know that you, with you, nothing is impossible. And I don't even know what your will might be in this situation, but I do know you and I want to see you at work. And so I'm not anxious for anything. I know that perfect love casts out fear. I'm not fearful for anything. God, I am not anxious, but I'm turning it over to you and I thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do. And then we tap into the power of heaven as we see God move. If God is not at power, if there is no power of God in your prayer life, is there fear? Is there anxiety that's in the way? Or maybe it's an unthankful heart. You've not even thought about it as being an unthankful heart. You've just not found occasion to give thanks. Then you know what you do? Start giving thanks. When you start your prayer, Father, I give you thanks. As the psalmist did, just for your mercies, which are everlasting. And as we begin to tap into that, to understand more of who God is and to tap into his power, the more all the other things begin to be put in a perspective that, you know what? It changes lives. It changes our lives. It changes our perspective. We've now seen the power of heaven as we have a thankful heart expressed in prayer and supplication with an attitude of God's in control. And that brings me to the sixth thing that happens for those who, for those who give thanks. We acknowledge the control of God
in our lives. We acknowledge the control of God in our lives. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. God, I want your peace to rule in my life. I know that you are the sovereign God. Whatever I'm going through, as Pastor Phil shares so often with us, did not catch you by surprise. It is not something outside your control. It is not something that you're waiting to see what kind of plan to devise to get me out of it. God, you know what I'm going through because you are a sovereign God. When we are a people of thanksgiving, we recognize that we're a people who don't have to be in control, that God is the one who is in control. I recognize when I give him thanks that he is beyond me, that his thoughts are above my thoughts and his ways are above my ways. And I don't always have it figured out, but he does. And that's what Paul says to the church of Colossians and by the power of the Spirit says to us today. And let the peace of God, therefore, the peace of God does rule in our hearts. So you see, just very quickly there, what we shared, there are six things that happen when we give thanks. And they're all good. Because we have a thankful heart. And so we take a moment and we consider that and what it means to be a thankful people. And I just simply want to share with you some scripture passages here, some reminders for giving thanks. Maybe you've still struggled with the facts of the scripture, but the application of it you've missed. And you said, I still don't know what I've got to be thankful for. Well, thank God for life. Thank God for life. Acts 17:28, for in Christ, in him we live and move and have our being. He's talking there about physical life. My life is a gift from God. Thank you, God, for this life. Sometimes, God, it is a mess. Sometimes I am confused. Sometimes I know I displease you. Father, I know that you know, I'm pretty pitiful. But God, you gave me life. And we live and we move, and we have our being in you. So thank you for my life. Now use my life for your glory. I surrender it to you. I thank God for life. I thank God for this physical life. Have you done that? You say, I'm going through this medical issue, this mental issue, this emotional issue. God, I'm ready to hang it up and move on to glory. Well, maybe he's not ready for that. Thank him for the life that you have and for the power to get through the moment. So we thank you for life. But you know what's even greater than that? We thank God for eternal life. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us unto the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Oh, that's eternal life. I love that. That's one of my top five passages in all the epistles. He's delivered us. One translation says he's conveyed us. Right, excuse me, he's rescued us. He's rescued us from the power of darkness. And he's conveyed us, taken us from here and transported us into the kingdom of the Son of his love by his blood, his redemption. He paid the price. I thank God for eternal life. That was the number one thing that we thanked him for as a congregation a moment ago. I thank God for meeting my physical needs. It's a lengthy passage. I've given it to you, but it's worth a reminder for us to read that. Jesus says here in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the unbelievers seek, the Gentiles seek.
For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. There is nothing that is necessary for the sustenance of life that God is not able to provide. And so we thank Him for meeting our physical needs. What is enough is our problem. It's not that He's given the resources. We just kind of look at it and say it's not enough. But He supplies our basic needs. I thank God for my earthly family. We ought to. Now, I want to tell you, I do a little counseling. David does a lot of counseling. Jim does some counseling. All of us as elders do some counseling. And it's not unusual that we run into families where there is no thankfulness for one another or for extended family. And it's tragic. I don't understand that. I didn't grow up in that. I don't have that now. I'm thankful for the family I have, both extended and current. But just maybe one of the reasons that there's a dysfunction in so many families is because there's a lack of thankfulness. And you say, I can't be thankful for him or her or this or that, what they've done in my life. Then be thankful to God and watch God then work through your life to touch those, to make a difference, or to give you peace with what is going on in your life. But let's be thankful for that's where God put you there. You didn't have a choice. That's where you are. And then as I think about that, I thought about that basic family unit of man and woman, husband and wife. In Ephesians 5:31-33, we're reminded of that. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery. Isn't it, though, sometimes, husbands? It's a great mystery, isn't it? Anyway, different sermon. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. You know, hey, husband, respect your wife. Wife, respect your husband. Thank your wife. Thank your husband. You don't have anything to be thankful for? Thank God for your wife, your husband. Thank them for what you used to have that maybe isn't there anymore, and pray that the Lord would restore that. If you're married in here right now, you turn to your spouse. Thank them for something. Thank them for something. I challenge you to do that. Now do it more often. Make it a habit of life. I thank God for you. I thank you for loving me. Thank you, Sue, for loving me. It didn't hurt. It felt good. Because that's who we are. That ought to be the expression of our life. Malachi 2:15 goes beyond the marriage relationship to the children issue. But did He, God, not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why did He create marriage? Why did He bring them together? Because He seeks godly seed. Thank God for your children. Oh, but they're a mess. They're prodigal. Thank God that you have an opportunity to show Christ and the power of Christ, even when they're prodigal children. That He's given you an opportunity to be an influence in their life. You prayed for them. You're praying for them to come to themselves, as the prodigal did, and to see God for who He is. Thank God for the opportunity that you have as a parent to be involved in raising a godly seed. Thank God for your children who come to the Lord early. Thank God for your children who find godly spouses. Thank God for your children who provide for you godly grandchildren. Thank God. Thank your children. Children, thank your parents for being a godly influence in your life. For them taking the time to lovingly discipline, to read the Word, to show the power of God in your marriage and in your life. Thank your children. Children, thank your parents. Thank God, children, for your parents. Thank God, parents, for your children. And so we thank God for our earthly family. We thank God for our heavenly family. Ephesians 2:19-22. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. I thank God for my heavenly family. For brothers and sisters in Christ, I thank God for you. We ought to thank God for one another. Turn to someone that you know. If you've got to get up and go look for someone you know. And thank them. And thank God. Thank them for joining this body of Christ and being a part of this community. And while you do that, thank God for bringing you into this. I tell you what, we're very different people. Some of y'all are weird. But I thank God for you. You know? That's true. Thank you. I got an amen there anyway. You know, I'm serious. Find somebody and thank God as you speak to them. Thank God for them. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you. Love you, brother. Thank you, Steve. That wasn't hard, was it? Do it some more. Don't just wait till Sunday night when we say go find somebody and thank God for them and thank them. That ought to be who we are. We ought to do it as a matter of routine. Thank God for allowing us, me, to be involved in his work. I'm not going to read the whole passage out of Galatians. That says Galatians. That should be 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through chapter 6, 2. 2 Corinthians 5. But I've underlined it there. We then, as workers together with him, plead with you not to receive the grace of God. You know, we've been given the great privilege of being involved in the work of God. I thank God for the call that he's put on my life to be a teacher and a preacher of the word. I thank him for that. But I thank God for allowing me to be in his work when I was in the paper business in Texas. Whatever I was doing, I thank God for allowing me to be able to share him at opportunities that I would have had otherwise. You don't have to be in the ministry to thank God for allowing us to be involved in his work. You are a servant of the Lord. Wherever you are, thank God for allowing you to have the opportunity to be on mission with him. Wherever you are. Then the final thing. Thank God for his many blessings. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Did you get that? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Thank you, God, for your many blessings. Now, let's do what we did earlier. What are you thankful for? Say, God, thank you for. You know, I hope that there was probably a few salvations out there, but I hope it kind of broadened it a little bit as you thank God. Let's do it again. Something different to thank God for. Thank you, God. Amen. Amen. Join me in prayer. Father, wow, you give, and you give. May we receive with a grateful heart and a grateful spirit. May we not ignore you, neglect you. May we not be unthankful. May we not look like those who are not yours. May we be people who say, thank God. Thank God. God, in everything, may we give thanks. Oh, God, thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. And amen.